The whole point of this episode is to talk all about fights, but only amongst teammates. Not that I'm encouraging anyone to fight, but...
It does sound like you're encouraging people to fight for our content, okay? Let me tell you, to think that he decided to shit talk Michael Jordan in a training camp is, first of all, hilarious and commendable both. And as they say, if you come for the king, you best not miss.
Javaris Crittenden. I didn't know who this was, to be honest. I still actually don't know who this is.
This one is genuinely like, what were you thinking?
He was not F1's nice guy that he is now.
Yeah, he was anything but. Everyone knows about the Lewis-Valtteri dynamic, right? In any situation Valtteri is leading, hey Valtteri, it's James. Boom. please swap cars.
The reason I don't pass to you is basically because you're shit.
This guy like, please, I will not speak to
you. It's just such a bizarre fight that they had in a yoga training session.
First of all, let's agree that both of them need yoga training sessions.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast by the fans, for the fans. Before we get into this week's episode, a quick reminder of last week's episode. We talk all about the Qatar World Cup, specifically all the controversy ensuing that you've probably heard about, both from a human rights perspective, some cultural differences with hosting the World Cup in Qatar. Do make sure to check out that episode. With that, let's get into this week's episode. Today, you're joined by two of your co-hosts, Aniket Gui.
What up?
And myself, Rishabh. Let's get right into this week's episode, Gui. It's a little bit of a fun one. It's coming off the Draymond Green and Jordan Poole fight. All to say, the whole point of this episode is to talk all about fights, but only amongst teammates. So we're going to look across sports, but just fighting that's been there across teammates. For those of you who don't know who they are, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, both players for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. Draymond Green, pretty well known historically in basketball as a pretty big hothead, but a video actually surfacing more recently showing him actually punching Jordan Poole right in the face in training camp, and Jordan Poole basically collapses to the ground. I think he's got some kind of temporary suspension from the team just internally, but not too much really from the Golden State Warriors. I never know, Gui, what teams are supposed to do in that situation. Like, he's a good player for their team. Like, what are they going to do? Like, if it's their responsibility, like, if it's a different team, the NBA comes in. If it's the same team, it's just your own organization. Why would they suspend a good player for too long? They're like, nah, we're not going to do too much. Like, obviously, he's a good player. You'll just keep playing him.
So, that's the ultimate get around, right? Like, excuse me, I punished him. But per my convenience. Yeah. and to be honest, like, if there is a loophole, I think everyone is free to utilize it. Like, who's to say that there is a more ethical GM, so to speak, who's not going to, you know, make use of something of this sort? You need someone with the highest ethics and principles and who genuinely values that over the next immediate 5 wins or something of that sort, which is like big in even in an 80 game season or how many ever game season it is right now, because the games don't seem to end. So, but obviously, you know, don't you think that that's also like a thing, you know, with the NBA being so prone to, it's not just, you know, team members fighting, it's always so many technicals. Mm-hmm. You know, you see so many bust ups, Chris Paul bust up after bust up, every season something new with the forever young Chris Paul. do you think it's because there is so much proximity, you know, they're playing 80 games, that's too much time with each other?
I think so, and I think it's also, it is like a pretty physical game, right? I mean, it's not, there is a lot more contact than I would say a lot of the other sports we follow. Like, on a regular basis, I'd say there's more contact than football, right? Even when not American football, but soccer, football. There's far more physical contact. So you're right. I think it's a lot more prone to it. And also, I agree with you. Yeah, an organization's never really going to do crap about it. Also, Draymond Green is probably going to get suspended for something else or the other over the season. They can't afford to lose him for more games. For a little bit of context, though, we don't have a whole lot of detail on what exactly went down. I assume there's a little bit of shit talking and stuff like that, which I feel is pretty common in basketball training. I mean, go back and watch Kobe Bryant absolutely hammering his team in training, calling them softest shaman, which is what a line. But one piece that is maybe a cause for some of the argument is they're both up for a contract extension this summer. Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins actually getting that contract extension recently, just signed. Draymond Green, as of now, no contract extension. I don't know if financially they actually even can give him a contract extension now. So that might have been a little bit of a cause of the rift also, just given Draymond is, you know, been such a big part of the Warriors' legacy that's been created, whereas Jordan Poole is relatively new. Gui, I'll throw it off
one
to you.
Second.
Oh, sorry.
In case there are people like me who do not follow the NBA much, $140 million over 4 years? Is that Jordan Poole's new contract?
Oh boy, that is, you know what? You caught me off guard. I'm going to check it right now. I think you're right. You know what? I'm going to trust you while Google pops up. You're right. It is $140 million over 4 years. Yes, you are correct. 140, which is insane. It's actually more than Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins is only like 107 or 109.
Now you know why Draymond's pissed.
You're right. That's a hell of a contract extension.
But yeah, so coming to like the other really, really famous popular bust up is between like teammates who you think got along like super well. You know, Michael Jordan and Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr comes across as one of the nicest guys, okay? To think that he decided to shit talk Michael Jordan in a training camp is, first of all, hilarious and commendable both. Because, and as they say, well, if you come for the king, you best not miss. Mm-hmm. Then there was some shit talking back and a few shoves and pushes exchanged that I think, if I'm not mistaken, again, in led to a similar scenario where both of them have to be separated. And, you know, what is the extremely famous coach's name? Phil Jackson. Am I right? Yes.
Good shit, Gui.
So, you know, Phil Jackson, having to make a public statement about it also. Yeah. And this is it talking about mid-90s, right? Of course, it's America and marketing and the popularity of athletes was always crazy when you talk about American sports and American athletes. But even then, nothing as compared to what it is now. To have an event which transpired where, you know, the coach has to come and clarify what happened in a training camp in the mid-90s. Like, it kind of speaks to, you know, how popular MJ and the 90s Bulls were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely fight. It lovely fight in the sense that, you know, if you think that who's supposed to go up against whom, you would not imagine Steve Kerr trying to pilot on MJ, right? Bro.
It's weird. The gap is so big between them. They're like so not like in the same realm of basketball. Jordan is like obviously greatest of all time. Steve Kerr, incredible career, like insane career. He has 3 rings with the Bulls. He has a ring with the Spurs, maybe even 2 rings with the Spurs. Now 4 rings with the Warriors. He is insanely ringed out, I guess. But so yeah, weird people to be going up against each other.
It's kind of my favorite, like the ones we are about to mention also. I think this one is genuinely like, what were you thinking? Like, this is that one.
But I think, Gui, the good news about this story, like you already mentioned, it's kind of like one of those all's well that ends well stories, because it happened, I believe, before the 1996 season, which I, again, just looked up. I didn't know this. And they went on to win, you know, that was their second three-peat. That was the start of their second three-peat, which was 96, 97, 98. So, you know, kind of all ended well. And sometimes we've seen with teammates, you almost have to get past something sometimes. You know, a little bit of friction leads to fire, as they say. So, it kind of helped them out in the end. Gui, there's one more NBA instance I do want to bring up that is kind of this crazy incident. I know I didn't very closely follow basketball at this time. I don't know if you did, but I definitely heard about this incident way later. Two players who people who aren't avid fans of probably won't know, you probably know Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas is a reasonably famous player in the history of the NBA. Javaris Crittenden. I didn't know who this was, to be honest. I still actually don't know who this is.
I was just about to say.
I honestly have no an idea. But both of them were playing for the Washington Wizards. I don't know the exact date. I think it was early 2000s. But during a game, they actually argued about a large debt that Arenas had incurred. Apparently, Arenas, I'm sure, was gambling or something to that effect. But they were basically playing cards on a plane. Apparently, Arenas owed a massive amount of money to Crittenden. A few days later, apparently, Arenas still hadn't paid up. Instead, both of them brought guns to the locker room and were pointing pistols at each other, pulled pistols at each other in the locker room. That is insane to me. I mean, it's probably only America where it can happen, first off. And B, I don't think I've ever heard of that in the context of any sport. Two players, Wild West style, in the locker room, pointing pistols at each other. That is not a toy gun or a water gun.
This is about athletes of other sports gambling. I've not heard of professional gamblers do
yeah.
what even just imagine this. You are at your Diwali party, you have gambled something, and you're like F it, bro, no need. And then suddenly 3 days later, hey, hello. So this isn't a Diwali gun, bro.
I appreciate Gui has always tried to make it relatable for our Indian viewers and listeners. Comparing the gambling to Diwali party ka gambling.
Okay, I understand you'll never end up owing someone like, you know, pro NBA athlete money. I get that.
Yeah.
Get that bit. But honestly, like, there should be some code, you know. Maybe let's avoid gambling, as you know, just avoid gambling, bro. Just avoid gambling in cases where there isn't like an institution to handle the gambling. you don't have to pull up the gun. What even?
It's a completely, completely insane story. And in your defense, I'm sure like the Ambani House Diwali, they're spending more than, I'm sure, whatever arena sold.
Yeah, Gilbert Arena's there.
Yeah, probably less than it. So you're not completely in the wrong. It just depends what Diwali parties you're going to. But Gui, I'll hand it off to you because I want to talk a little bit about F1. F1 is a sport we talk about a lot. Obviously, there's a little bit of rivalry that happens because it's kind of an individual sport. It's kind of a team sport. But there's one very famous incident that you can speak to, and I'm not even going to spoil what incident it is. What is the incident?
The incident is popularly known as the Multi-21. All right. This is the point where four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel was not a four-time world champion. He was in the process, right? It was when all the finger pointing and all the... He was at his worst behavior.
He was not F1's nice guy that he is now. Yeah, he is now like F1 nice guy. He was not that guy then.
he was anything but. Like, he was anything but. He was, okay, like, I'll be honest, I was never like a Vettel fan.
Mm-hmm.
Never liked anyone who drove a Red Bull, like, to be honest. And he wasn't helping. This man was not helping by any means, right? So, the situation is such where Webber has the lead now and Vettel's been instructed to not do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Man flips the bird, okay, proverbial bird, okay? Man flips the proverbial bird and decides to win the GP.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is like, come on, this is bad, bad blood. Like, just imagine if for people who haven't followed F1 at that point, everyone knows about the Lewis-Valtteri dynamic, right? In any situation Valtteri is leading, hey Valtteri, it's James. Boom. please swap cars. Okay, that's, which was the instruction which was not given at that point, right? Mm-hmm. To Webber. In fact, it was just, imagine Lewis being told not to overtake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you put that into context, with all the times Valtteri is moved back, Lewis should oblige, right?
Yeah.
Think of it that he doesn't. That's what Vettel did. He said, no, sorry. What team orders? I don't understand team orders. I mean, I understand them, but who cares? I'm going to be 4-time world champion, so let me just... And you should have seen the pictures from the podium. It's like... I mean, it's the worst set of podium pictures I've ever seen, because nobody on that podium looked happy.
Yeah,
it was just like bad blood about. It's where it just like, you know, if there was like a small spark, this is where it just like ignited a fire which was, you know, about to burn down a whole house of cards kind of situation. And it's kind of criminal, right? Like, mm-hmm. in a situation where I don't think I've seen team orders defied since then. Like, who's defying team orders? Maybe just Valtteri did it once, where he was told not to set the fastest lap, and he just said like, okay, fine, I'm going to do it anyway. And this is again after he was second for all of the seasons, after it was all but known that he's no longer going to have an extended contract at the team, which is when he, you know, decided to do what? Set the fastest lap. Okay. No, that's about it. Like, Vettel, on the other hand, knew what he was doing. So, which is why it's that high up in the order of criminality.
And I think also, like, to your point, Gui, I think a lot more teams now have a driver 1A, 1B. So when they get their second driver in, it's kind of planned that, like, they will be a supporting, there'll be a clear supporting role. Barring, like, maybe Nico, like, the closest teams now, like, 2016 is probably Nico Rosberg, Hamilton. This year's maybe you can argue Sainz, Leclerc, but still, Leclerc is probably 1A and they just get along so well. So you're right, we don't see a lot of instances of it. I also think it was so controversial because Mark Webber was a very known driver at that point. Vettel was very young in his career, actually. Webber was a very known driver, like maybe similar to Danny Ricciardo now, right? Like a race winner, a very experienced driver, definitely was a driver irrespective of whether being...
Super respected on the grid.
And I think this is also an instance where I always give F1 credit. They've obviously taken it up a whole other notch with Drive to Survive, but always they've been really good about recording stuff. They always have had radio. They've always like put cameras wherever they can. And it's a great highlight of the cool down room after the race of Webber just looking at Vettel and going, multi-21, Seb. Multi-21. I can't do an Australian accent, but you get my point. He's basically looking at him and it's so uncomfortable. And the other second thing I find is so funny is the radio of Vettel after he kind of disobeys the order. He kind of goes, I was scared. I had to take the line. And it's like such obvious bullshit. He literally says, I'm pretty sure I was scared. Or something to that effect. Like, okay, calm down. You. I don't think you were.
You've been driving an open wheel race car for all your life, but you are suddenly scared. Okay, right.
I don't think anybody bought it. I don't think a single person out there bought it. But Gui, let's move on now to football. I'll start off with, I think, one of the more like popular incidents that's happened. Some time ago, it was, I think, 2005, 2006, I believe. It was an incident between two Newcastle players, a reasonably famous incident, between Lee Bowyer and Kieran Dyer. Now, for context, they had started the 2004-05 season. They were trying to, like, this was a point when Newcastle was still a pretty decent team. I believe the season before, so the 2003-04 season, I think they finished fifth. They were trying to improve on that. They wanted to get into the Champions League. This season didn't go so well for them. Overall, the season was kind of going to crap. I think they were 10th in the table. They had this, the game specifically where it happened was a game that was, I think, against Aston Villa. Lee Bowyer, I don't think the ball was actually close to them. And I didn't know this additional context. Apparently, Lee Bowyer had this theory that Dyer was intentionally not passing to him. And so when about 10 minutes were left, apparently Bowyer confronted him and said, like, dude, why aren't you freaking passing to me? And apparently, Dyer responded by saying, the reason I don't pass to you is basically because you're shit. So, unsurprisingly, Lee Bowyer, who apparently had a bunch of off-pitch incidents, just like, I think, drunken brawls and stuff like that.
He was also Joey Barton, yes.
Yes, a younger, like before Joey Barton, he was the Joey Barton of England. Attacks his teammate on the field. It's a bizarre incident. Both get sent off. Newcastle are down to 8 men because they'd already got a red card earlier in the game. Ended up the game with 8 men, which was insane. Watch the video on YouTube. It is so funny because the ball is not even close to them. Suddenly, everyone stops to realize that like two teammates are fighting. But bizarre incident, Gui. Any thoughts on this incident or any others that come to your mind?
Look, if someone walks up to me at work, like a peer walks up to me and says, "You're shit at what you do," I will also want to punch them. Yes, okay. I will also want to punch them. Will I punch them? Maybe not.
Hey, but that's the difference. That's the difference. Follow through. No. The difference.
Excuse me. The difference is that I will be fired, not given a 3-game ban. They won't say, "Don't do 3 engagements."
Good point. Good advice to anyone listening as well. Do not make
nearly enough money to be able to sit out 3 engagements also. Like, don't do 3 engagements. We'll call you back after 6 months or whatever. I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work in my world. But
good advice, Gui. Great advice.
But think about it. These guys can actually, like, we called him Joey Barton before Joey Barton, right? Even Joey Barton, he's fought with so many people. He's fought at training grounds. He's fought on the, when he has been sent off, if someone's trying to send him, like, move him along.
He's fought
with that person also. Bro, tone it down. But I don't know, like, this one was a bit much. Like, this is like, you can see actual physical punches thrown, like Chris Paul style. These guys went and, like, I'm sorry, Chris Paul has been mentioned more times than he deserves to be in this conversation. But anyway,
we have to track the number of times you mentioned Chris Paul across all our podcasts and track how many times it's in a positive tone. It's probably once. It's probably
zero.
Maybe 0%.
No, there is who said it.
You called him at least point guard, which is at least in some. I mean,
I said he is called the.
Yeah, that's true. Not really. Yeah, that is just what he's called.
So, that too with no seriousness or earnestness. Okay. it sounds good. Let me just insert it here. Right. Yeah, that's honestly, like, it's really crazy. If I have to suggest one to watch, like, this is a proper fight, this is a brawl. Like, yeah. I mean, something you would see in a Newcastle pub, not on the pitch.
I was gonna say that this is by far to me the most memorable fight. The two others I would bring up just for people to check out. One is the Lloris Son fight. It's more recent. If you haven't seen All or Nothing Tottenham, watch it. It's pretty fun, especially because Mourinho was manager that season. It's a pretty fun season, but it's pretty boring in the sense that the fight was just Son towards the end of the half doesn't run back to provide support and they almost concede. And Lloris, who was captain, just kind of blows up at him as they're leaving the pitch. And like just kind of yelling at Son, and then it continues on into the dressing room because they were shooting All or Nothing. They got the footage of them yelling at each other in the dressing room as well. Nothing crazy. There's another fight in that season which is also pretty entertaining between Dele Alli and Dyer. Catch that. Again, it's just verbal though. Not that I'm encouraging anyone to fight, but it's a relatively tamer fight.
It does sound like you're encouraging people to fight for our content, okay? Let me tell you.
I'm not going to lie. It would have been a better story if some punches were thrown. I mean, let's be honest. So those are two pretty interesting Tottenham ones. Like, those are some half-decent ones.
Second. Excuse me. Arsenal boys can also fight, okay? Adebayor and Bentner have also fought on the pitch. Right, Bender. apparently, because Adebayor felt that Bender did not respect him as much as he should have. And excuse me, I get that you have so many derby goals because you played on both sides of the derby and you've been around for way too long. Okay, but what is this? You should respect me more than what you respect. He's called the Lord for a reason. He's had that attitude about him since he was a child. Please, you're not going to fix Nicholas Bender in like a verbal spat. Not happening, bro.
I will say, I don't rate Adebayor super highly, but I think he was a very solid striker, like a very solid number nine for the years. I will say I do rate him above Benta. Like, Benta was the most disappointing, the biggest disappointment to every 5 years. You'd be like, oh, maybe. And then
maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. So I did see this one. Honestly, I didn't remember the fight. So I'm glad you were able to bring that up. That's a shout out to Arsenal. Like you said, Gui, we can fight as well. Good call out. The last really quick one I want to bring up, just because I found this funny, was Mitrovic and Kamara. So apparently there was some bad blood between them because Kamara had stolen the ball away from Mitrovic for a penalty and then missed the penalty. And apparently they had some bad blood between them. But the funny thing is how this incident occurred. It's very tame, but they were both in a yoga session. And apparently Kamara interrupted the group during a meditation and Mitrovic just says, shut up. It's just such a bizarre fight that they had in a yoga training session. So there was just a bizarre one.
First of all, let's agree that both of them need yoga training sessions.
That I agree. I do agree.
Mitrovic especially. Like, sir, go for yoga twice a day. That too is not enough.
I do think that this season, I think he's actually toned down. He seems a lot like happier and calm. Maybe the yoga has helped. Maybe that is what affected his calmness. He seems a lot calmer this season, maybe. But Gui, let's cover one final spot before we wrap up. A spot that doesn't have too much conflict. But there was one that we both saw that we thought was kind of interesting and, you know, a reasonably more combative moment within Indian cricket. You go for it. What is the story? What happened? Run with it.
Quickly, yeah. Jadeja bowled to Sunil Narayan, who skies it. Bhuvi and Raina have horribly misjudged the shot. They are both at least 2 yards ahead of where the ball fell. Okay. Jadeja at the drinks break goes on and on, excuse me, sorry, not okay, refuses to look at Raina. Raina's trying to, you know, yank him and, you know, make, he's like, listen, to look at me when I'm talking to you, kind of a moment. He's trying to turn him around. This guy, like, please, I will not speak to you. That's the best. And, you know, Raina was he's quite senior as compared to Jadeja, right? Like, so you can't, like, just imagine how hierarchical the whole thing is, that this man, to evoke anger, has only refused to look at him, not said anything. Sir, I will not look at you, okay? This is enough. Enough is enough. You drop the catch, I will not look at you. Hilarious, but also also speaks to like what Jadeja has become. You saw the signs that this guy does not like shit fielding, shit bowling, does not like drop catches, misfields. Good for him. Like, maybe he had it from day one.
100%. And I actually have no issue with fielders like getting called out for like completely screwing up, which is what happened. Like, they completely mess up. And Raina, usually a phenomenal fielder,
one of the best.
For cricket standards, I guess a relatively reasonable fight, but still pretty tame compared to what we see in a lot of other sports. We did focus on the sports that we typically tend to cover, but we know there's a lot of fights that happen in the NFL and the MLB that we didn't really, we don't follow as closely, so we didn't really cover. But if there are some other fights that come to mind for you, do let us know in the comments any other ones that, you know, you thought were interesting. At the very least, we'll check them out. Then we'll see something new, which is always fun. If you like this episode, leave a like, share it with anyone else who might like it. Subscribe to our channel. We do a whole lot of sports content. So whatever sport you like, we probably cover it. If we don't, DM us. We're always looking to learn about new sports. With that, we're signing off. We'll catch you again next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer. And all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.